everyone, and welcome to episode 86 of the Medieval Podcast. I'm Danielle Cebulski, also known as the 5-Minute Medievalist. This week is medieval story time again, as I have just moved and things are still a little bit chaotic in my life right now, so it's going to be medieval story time. And I think that's kind of good sometimes to hear the actual stories of the Middle Ages in primary source form. So I'll be reading to you one from the late 13th or early 14th century, we think. If you are a Shakespeare fan, you might remember The Merchant of Venice. That's the one that has Shylock in it, who's talking about taking a pound of flesh, and he has that really great soliloquy, which, I mean, is just amazing. But the other plot in The Merchant of Venice, if you remember, is about a woman named Portia, and she's being courted by all sorts of suitors, and she has to find a way to decide which one of them is worthy of her. And if you remember the story, she has them choose from three different caskets, and there's some really catchy rhymes in them, which sometimes still get stuck in my head when I'm doing things like unpacking boxes of books and kitchen utensils and things like that. Those three caskets really kind of stuck in my head from taking The Merchant of Venice in high school. And actually, that is a story that is from a compilation of stories called the Gesta Romanorum, or the Deeds of the Romans. And that's this primary source from late 13th, early 14th century that some people suggest might have been put together for priests because they have kind of moral lessons to them. I don't know that for sure, but I do know that this is a collection of stories that are meant to teach you something and not just be funny, although some of them are funny and cute. They are meant to give you some moral instruction as well as entertain you, which, I mean, best kind of stories, right? So this translation is from, it's an old one, just from a book called Medieval Tales, and we'll leave you the link in the show notes. But it's very old, so the language is old as well, but that means that we can read it for free online. We will give you the link for that. So this is a story called The Three Caskets. It's from the Gesta Romanorum. And without further ado, let's just get into it. So the story is called The Three Caskets. Sometime dwelt in Rome a mighty emperor named Anselm, who had married the king's daughter of Jerusalem, a fair lady and gracious in the sight of every man. But she was long time with the emperor ere she bare him any child, wherefore the nobles of the empire were very sorrowful, because their lord had no heir of his own body begotten, till at last it befell that this Anselm walked after supper in an evening into his garden and bethought himself that he had no heir, and how the king of Ampli warred on him continually, for so much as he had no son to make defense in his absence. Therefore he was sorrowful, and went into his chamber and slept. Then he thought he saw a vision in his sleep, that the morning was more clear than it was wont to be, and that the moon was much paler on the one side than on the other. And after he saw a bird of two colors, and by that bird stood two beasts, which fed that little bird with their heat. And after that came more beasts, and bowing their breasts toward the bird, went their way. Then came there diverse birds that sung sweetly and pleasantly. With that, the emperor awakened. In the morning early, this Anselm remembered his vision, and wondered much what it might signify. Wherefore he called to him his philosophers, and all the states of the empire, and told them his dream, charging them to tell him the signification thereof on pain of death, and if they told him the true interpretation thereof, he promised them good reward. Then said they, "Dear Lord, tell us your dream, and we shall declare to you what it betokens." Then the emperor told them from the beginning to the ending, as is aforesaid. When the philosophers heard this, with glad cheer they answered and said, "Sir, the vision that you saw betokeneth good, for the empire shall be clearer than it is. The moon that is more pale on the one side than on the other betokeneth the empress that hath lost part of her color through the conception of a son that she hath conceived. The little bird betokeneth the son that she shall bear. The two beasts that fed this bird betoken the wise and rich men of the empire which shall obey the son. These other beasts that bowed their breasts to the bird betoken many other nations that shall do him homage. The bird that sang so sweetly to this little bird betokeneth the Romans, who shall rejoice and sing because of his birth. This is the very interpretation of your dream." When the emperor heard this, he was right joyful. Soon after that, the empress travailed in childbirth, and was delivered of a fair son, at whose birth there was great and wonderful joy made. When the king of Amphlui heard this, he thought himself thus, Lo, I have warred against the emperor all the days of my life, and now he hath a son who, when he cometh to full age, will revenge the wrong I have done against his father. Therefore, it is better that I send to the emperor and beseech of him truce and peace, that the son may have nothing against me when he cometh to manhood. When he had thus said to himself, he wrote to the emperor, beseeching him to have peace. When the emperor saw that the king of Amphlui wrote to him more for fear than for love, he wrote again to him, that if he would find good and sufficient sureties to keep the peace, and bind himself all the days of his life to do him service and homage, he would receive him to peace. When the king had read the tenor of the emperor's letter, he called his council, praying them to give him counsel how he might best do as touching this matter. Then said they, It is good that ye obey the commandment in all things. For first, in that he desired of you surety for the peace, to this we answer thus, You have but one daughter, and the emperor one son. Wherefore, let a marriage be made between them, and that may be a perpetual covenant of peace. Also he asketh homage and tribute, which it is good to fulfill. Then the king sent his messengers to the emperor, saying that he would fulfill his desire in all things if it might please his highness that his son and the king's daughter might be married together. All this well pleased the emperor. Yet he sent again, saying, If his daughter were a pure maid from her birth unto that day, he would consent to that marriage. Then was the king right glad, for his daughter was a pure maid. Therefore, when the letters of covenant and compact were sealed, the king furnished a fair ship wherein he might send his daughter with many noble knights, ladies, and great riches unto the emperor for to have his son in marriage. And when they were sailing in the sea towards Rome, a storm arose so extremely and so horribly that the ship brake against a rock and they were all drowned save only the young lady, which fixed her hope and heart so greatly on God that she was saved. And about 3 o'clock the tempest ceased, and the lady drove forth over the waves in that broken ship which was cast up again. But a huge whale followed after, ready to devour both the ship and her. Wherefore this young lady, when night came, smote fire with a stone, wherewith the ship was greatly lightened, and then the whale durst not adventure towards the ship for fear of that light. At the cock crowing, this young lady was so weary of the great tempest and trouble of sea that she slept. And within a little while after the fire ceased, and the whale came and devoured the virgin. And when she awaked and found herself swallowed up in the whale's belly, she smote fire, and with a knife wounded the whale in many places. And when the whale felt himself wounded, according to his nature, he began to swim to land. There was dwelling at that time in a country nearby a noble earl named Pyrrhus, who, for his recreation walking on the seashore, saw a whale coming towards the land, wherefore he turned home again and gathered a great many of men and women and came thither again and fought with the whale and wounded him very sore. And as they smote, the maiden that was in his belly cried with a high voice and said, O gentle friends, have mercy and compassion on me, for I am a king's daughter and a true maid from the hour of my birth unto this day. When the earl heard this, he wondered greatly and opened the side of the whale and found the young lady and took her out. And when she was thus delivered, she told them forthwith whose daughter she was, and how she had lost all her goods in the sea, and how she should have been married unto the emperor's son. And when the earl heard this, he was very glad, and comforted her the more, and kept her with him till she was well refreshed. And in the meantime, he sent messengers to the emperor, letting him to know how the king's daughter was saved. Then was the emperor right glad of her safety and coming, and had great compassion on her, saying, Ah, good maiden, for the love of my son thou hast suffered much woe. Nevertheless, if thou be worthy to be his wife, soon shall I prove. And when he had thus said, he caused 3 vessels to be brought forth. The first was made of pure gold, well beset with precious stones without, and within full of dead men's bones. And thereupon was engraven this posy, Whoso chooseth me shall find that he deserveth. The second vessel was made of fine silver, filled with earth and worms. The superscription was thus, Whoso chooseth me shall find that his nature desireth. The third vessel was made of lead, full within of precious stones, and thereupon was insculpt this posy, Whoso chooseth me shall find that God hath disposed for him. These three vessels the emperor showed the maiden, and said, Lo, here, daughter, these be rich vessels. If thou choose one of these, wherein is profit to thee and others, then shalt thou have my son. And if thou choose that wherein is no profit to thee, nor to any other, soothly thou shalt not marry him. When the maiden heard this, she lift up her hands to God and said, Thou Lord that knowest all things, grant me grace this hour so to choose that I may receive the emperor's son. And with that she beheld the first vessel of gold which was engraven royally, and read the superscription, Whoso chooseth me shall find that he deserveth, saying thus, Though this vessel be full precious and made of pure gold, nevertheless I know not what is within. Therefore, my dear Lord, this vessel will I not choose. And then she beheld the second vessel, that was of pure silver, and read the superscription, Whoso chooseth me shall find that his nature desireth. Thinking thus within herself, If I choose this vessel, what is within I know not, but well I know, there shall I find that nature desireth, and my nature desireth the lust of the flesh, and therefore this vessel will I not choose. When she had seen these two vessels, and had given an answer as touching them, she beheld the third vessel of lead, and read the superscription, Whoso chooseth me shall find that God hath disposed. Thinking within herself, This vessel is not very rich nor outwardly precious. Yet the superscription saith, Whoso chooseth me shall find that God hath disposed. And without doubt, God never disposeth any harm. Therefore, by the leave of God, this vessel will I choose. When the emperor heard this, he said, O fair maiden, open thy vessel, for it is full of precious stones, and see if thou hast chosen well or no. And when this young lady had opened it, she found it full of fine gold and precious stones, as the emperor had told her before. Then said the emperor, Daughter, because thou hast well chosen, thou shalt marry my son. And then he appointed the wedding day, and they were married with great solemnity, and with much honor continued to their life's end. That is the story of the three caskets, and if you are familiar with The Merchant of Venice, you know that there was a gold one, a silver one, and a lead one, and they didn't have, like, dead men's bones in them, or, like, dirt and worms, but they did have little messages in them that said that, you know, choosing based on the outside is not the best answer. You want to choose based on what could be inside, and in this case, it's definitely a religious tale in which you're trusting to God to give you what he thinks you should have instead of what you think you should have. I think that this is one of these stories that is, it kind of takes a while to get to the point, right? But that's just the nature of medieval storytelling sometimes. It's in the Gestum Romanorum because all of these stories are related to emperors, whether they're actually true or not, in which case this is probably not a true story. But it's kind of an awesome story as well because you have like this maiden who gets shipwrecked and, you know, she's sparking fire on this broken ship that's floating in the ocean. She falls asleep and then like a whale comes and eats her, which is amazing. So she has to stab it. She has to light a fire inside and stab the whale to drive it to shore. And then the first thing that she says when people start to like open up the whale to let her out is she says, you know, I'm a king's daughter and I'm a virgin. I think this is kind of hilarious. Maybe these are the reasons that she thinks she should be let out of the whale. Either way, it works. She gets let out of the whale and picks the caskets. One of the things I think is interesting about this compared to Shakespeare is in Shakespeare, it's the woman whose caskets they are, although I believe it's her father who created them. But it's the men that have to choose these caskets in order to marry Portia. In the story from the Gestum Romanorum, it is the woman who has to choose the correct casket to marry the emperor's son. And I think it's another kind of moment that I think is a little bit funny in the story where she's saying if she picks the gold one and she doesn't know what's in it, if she picks the silver one, it's supposed to give her what she her nature desires. And her she says, well, my nature's kind of lusty. it's good, right? Shakespeare again says, know thyself. I think that she's not talking just about fleshly desire in terms of sex, but also in terms of food and drink and all of those sort of things. But it kind of makes me laugh. But she picks the one that should give her the things that God wants for her. She trusts to God, and that is what saves her. And so this is a very medieval story in that it's got, you know, everything from fantastic beasts to trust in God, Roman emperor, probably not a true story, but all of those elements that medieval people really loved. So that is the story of the three caskets that informed one of Shakespeare's most famous plays. Before we go, here's Peter from medievalist.net to tell us what's on the website. What's going on, Peter?
Hey. Well, we had a really popular piece this week on medievalists, and it was a news piece about the British Library releasing 40,000 images of early modern maps. So it's not quite medieval. This is stuff kind of out between like years like 1500 and the 19th century, but it's quite, you know, beautiful stuff, you know, lovely kind of things. If you like maps like me, you know, it's quite a nice little treat. So we have some news on that. Plus we look at El Dorado in the movies, examine the connections between King Arthur and King Edward III, and answer the question, could a peasant defeat a knight in battle?
Ooh, that's a good question. I need to read that to find out.
Spoilers, the knight usually wins.
Oh, well. But maybe not. I guess we have to find out. Sounds like a lot of good stuff on the website this week, Peter. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, as always, to our patrons on patreon.com for your support. If you love the medieval world, visit our Patreon page to find everything from subscriptions to Medieval Warfare Magazine and the Medieval Magazine, to our book club, to our exclusive maps by Tina Ross. You can find all the action at patreon.com/medievalists. And if you're one of the people that was listening to me talk last week about the Medieval Masterclass, it is actually full. The pilot class is full now, but we will be offering it again in January. So if you're interested in that, just keep paying attention to the podcast and I will tell you when the next version of the Medieval Masterclass for creators is coming up. For everything from maps to military matchups, follow medievalist.net on Facebook or Twitter at medievalists. You can also follow me, Danielle Cebulski, on social media at 5minmedievalist or 5minutemedievalist. And you can find all my books, including Life in Medieval Europe, Fact and Fiction, which is, I think, on sale right now at Pen and Sword Press. You can find it at your favorite online bookstores. Our music is Beyond the Warriors by Guy Frog. Thanks for listening, and have yourself an awesome day.